with all that has been going on, I decided to make a slight shift in what I'm going to preach on this morning. I was planning to preach on Lord's Day 28 this morning. We're going to go to Psalm 16 this morning. I was planning to preach on the first four verses tonight, but what I want to do this morning is just look at the first two verses of Psalm 16, focus on those as an introduction really to just a short series on Psalm 16. So Psalm 16 we turn to this morning. The text will be verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Let's read the entire psalm. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And thus far we read God's Word. As I said, the text this morning is verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray for Thy blessing upon this word, that it would comfort our souls in the knowledge of the loving relationship that Thou dost give to us and preserve us in through Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt use this word to strengthen our faith, that we would hold on to Thy promises and believe them, that we would see Thy face this morning, a face that smiles down upon us in Thy love and mercy in Jesus Christ. And so may the word this morning comfort our souls and deliver us as well from the fears that we may have and even struggle with. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy word of hope that Thou dost give to us in the Holy Scriptures, and for the precious word of the gospel. We need good news today, and we are thankful that Thou dost give it to us. Give strength to Thy servant as he brings this word, that we may bring it in truth and in clarity for the glory of Thy name and for the edification of our souls. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wasn't that long ago that I heard Psalm 16 used as the basis of a funeral message. And they got me thinking about Psalm 16 and what a beautiful psalm that it is, and then thought then that I should preach a short series on the psalm. The psalm sometimes is called the Golden Psalm. If you look at the heading over the psalm, the Michtam of David, that word there is not, or not a conclusion of what exactly that word means. There are some who say it means golden and thus have called this psalm the Golden Psalm. There's something beautiful about it, and a couple of things that I point out to you. First of all, as we look at the psalm this morning and will in the coming weeks as well, The beauty of the psalm, first of all, is that it teaches us what true faith looks like in the child of God. It shows us what true faith looks like in David's life as he confesses what he does here in this psalm with a true and living faith. You see the confidence of faith that comes out here in the psalm. That's evident right there in the first verse where David prays, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." We'll come back to that prayer that's part of the text that we look at this morning. But understand that David prays that, "Preserve me," in the confidence of faith, his trust in God. That comes out in other verses as well. For example, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." There's a confession of confidence, faith there in that verse. And then the last verses as well, the confidence that he has in facing the reality of death. He's not afraid of that either because of the victory that is given. So the psalm is a beautiful psalm because it teaches us what true faith looks like in the life of the child of God. The second thing that makes this psalm beautiful is it's prophetic. It's a messianic psalm. It's not just David here that writes this psalm about his own life and faith, but David writes here of Jesus Christ who will come. So that really we can say that the primary speaker in the psalm is Jesus Christ Himself. We know that from Acts 2, where Peter, in his sermon at Pentecost, quotes these verses, the end verses of the psalm, in reference to Jesus' resurrection. And so we're told in that this psalm is a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ Himself and points us to Jesus Christ also. So now with that in mind, this morning we look at these beginning verses of the psalm. And really the focus of those beginning verses is the confidence that David expresses in his prayer to God. And that confidence is this: "For in Thee do I put my trust." Or, as we might say it, "I trust You." That's what David is saying as he comes before God. "I trust You." Three words. Short, simple confession that David makes. Not hard to understand, but profound really. And profound really when we can make the same confession, no matter what's going on in our lives: "I trust You." It's important that in all the hardships that we go through and the things that are going on right now, that we make this confession: "I trust You." And to make that confession, it's not about us. It's about Him. When we say that from the depths of our souls, that is glorifying to God. Because He's the one in whom we place our trust. So that's what we look at this morning. "I trust You." Notice first that confession. Secondly, the relationship that is behind it. David can confess this, and we confess it as well, because of the relationship that we have with God. And then finally, the prayer that flows out of that: "Oh, preserve me," or "Oh God, preserve me." So first we look at the confession. "I trust You." As I said, three short, simple words, but profound and packed in meaning. The word "trust" here in the text literally means to flee to or to take refuge in God. It's a different word for trust in the Old Testament that means to lean upon. It's not the word here, but the word here is that we flee to or take refuge in God. Think of what happens when there's a thunderstorm in the summer and one might be working out in the yard or on the golf course or wherever one might be, and when there's a storm and there's the threat of lightning, we seek shelter. We seek a place of protection. So we run indoors. We run into the house. We find a building where we can find shelter. That's the idea of this word here. When we trust in something, we find shelter and protection there. Over spring break, we went and visited a fort that dates back to the Civil War. And I was reminded of that idea of protection there. Not only did they have this fort in the shape of a pentagon, but around that fort they had another hill so that there was like a valley between the fort itself and this hill that they had built around it so that if the fort was under attack, those who were there in the fort could actually run around even the outside of the fort to help in their protection. But in doing so, they would be protected by that large berm that was in front of it. So there was shelter and protection. You can imagine that those who were living around that fort, if they were under attack, they would have gone into the fort to seek protection and shelter. That's what we do as the people of God. That's what faith does. That's what trust does. When there's danger, when there's hardship, we're looking for refuge. We're fleeing to it. We're running to it. And the one to whom we run is God Himself. The implication here is that we're under attack. And we are. The psalmist, we don't find here that he was under a particular attack in this time. We're not told that, at least in the psalm. We don't really know the background of the psalm. And in fact, it may be that when David wrote this, or speaks these words, he's going through a relatively easy time in his life. It's not something that was born out of hardship and adversity for him. The evidence for that, that's often given is verse 6, where David says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage." It seems that right now things are going well for David, but he's gone through hardship and difficulty in his life. When he was running from Saul, when he walked in sin himself, when his son rebelled against him, and all kinds of other times in his life as well. And so though even David may have been going through a relatively peaceful time in his life, he knew that attacks would come and hardships, they could come at any time as he'd experienced them in his own life. And we have to see and understand this morning that we face real attacks in our lives. And those attacks are ongoing. It's Satan who's attacking us with his accusations and his temptations. It's our own sinful flesh. We're under attack from within. And our very thoughts and sinful desires. And then there's the world in which we live as well. And that's one of the aspects of hardship and difficulty in our lives. That when we're in hardship and difficulty, we're also under attack. And it's not just Satan who's attacking us, but we struggle at times with our own sinful flesh. We wrestle with some things, as it were. What's going to happen? Our minds go to the future and what could possibly happen and the different things that might happen. What if this happens? What's going to happen then? How will I or how will we handle this? How will they handle this? There are the multitude of thoughts within us, the anxieties and the fears that we have, so that we wonder if we're without hope and confidence as we go through all of these things. There's the period where there's waiting, as families do right now, waiting and not knowing certain things and not knowing how it's all going to turn out. And that can be so hard. And there are attacks in that. Not only the attacks of Satan, but our own thoughts and our own flesh within us. But in the midst of all of that, the hardship and difficulty and the attacks of the enemy, this is what faith does actively. It seeks refuge in God. It finds strength and safety in Him. And so it's important that we understand what this faith is. that David confesses here in Psalm 16 when he says, "For in Thee do I put my trust. I trust You." That faith isn't stoic. It's not detached at all from what's going on in life. It doesn't mean that there are no tears. That hardship and pain and suffering isn't felt. No, when there's faith, we experience that. The circumstances of life can hurt. There are tears. We're not simply detached and saying, "Well, God's in control and there's nothing that I can do anyway." It's not that we should think that when there's strong faith that we're not upset by things. No, we are upset and we have these real thoughts within us and these real fears. We may not give expression to them, but they're there and we struggle with them in our own minds. But in this faith then, we don't depend upon ourselves to work ourselves through these things. But faith is complete dependence, complete reliance upon God. We go to Him and to Him alone. Trusting in God means taking refuge in Him. It's finding our unshakable confidence in the rock of our salvation, in God and His perfect love for us. When we trust in God, it's through the tears and through the pain that we experience in our own hearts that we remember the promises of God and we calm our souls in those times. We're thinking on Him and living in relationship to Him. In trust, we have the confidence that God is working. We're not looking for some quick fix. We're not looking to know everything, but we're resting confidently in Him. And so when a husband and a father, a son is lying in a hospital bed and we don't know exactly what the future holds for him, whether that's Bryant or Rick, we have confidence. We look up unto God. We trust in Him. We face an illness that's quite rare and the doctors treat it, but they don't know exactly what will happen because of that. We trust in God. I trust You. So often we don't know. We're accustomed to knowing things and being given lots of information. We want to know what's going to happen and we learn to say, "We will do this or that if the Lord wills." And so God's teaching us that we trust in Him. We're learning constantly to trust. God comes to us like He did to His disciples and says, "Oh, ye of little faith, remember. Remember who I am. Remember my love. Remember my care." So we see and understand this morning that trust is always directed in a certain direction. That's part of trust, and that's the idea here. It's fleeing to God. It's going to God. It's going to Him. It's direction. It's movement towards Him. Embracing Him. Embracing His promises. Embracing Him as He's embracing us. Philippians 4 speaks of that. What this faith looks like very really in our lives when we're afraid, when we have fears, and when we have anxieties. What this faith looks like, what this trust looks like is it's rejoicing in God, Philippians 4 tells us. Then it's praying to God, even with thanksgiving. Praying with thanksgiving to our God. It's as well filling our minds and our hearts as well with the Word of God. It's listening to His words. We park our minds on what it is that He says to us, on those things that are true and lovely and of good report. Look at Philippians 4 this afternoon. Maybe read that for your family worship this afternoon. And let's together be comforted by those words. This is what faith looks like in the life of the child of God, rejoicing, praying, thinking on those things that are good and lovely, the things of God and His Word. Listening to God and His truth and fighting all of the attacks of Satan when he wants us to believe the lie, even when we're going through great hardship and difficulty in our own lives. That's what faith looks like. And it's interesting when you start looking at the Psalms how often that kind of faith is confessed. Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will make my refuge under the shadow of Your wings." You think of this mother bird protecting her chicks or her hens under the shadow of the wings, or under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty God. Or Psalm 61, verse 4, "I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings." That's after the psalmist cries out to God, asking God to hear his prayer. And then he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And so he's going to the rock that is higher than he is. That's what faith looks like. It's going to God, yes, in prayer and in the Word, but also in our own minds as we think about these things. And then that's expressed again in Psalm 16, verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me." This is faith. It's setting the Lord and who He is and what He does always before us. And thus, as the psalmist says, "Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I will not be taken away. I will not be destroyed." And so there's faith, setting the Lord and who He is and His promises before our minds and holding on to that, so that even as we see suffering and hardship with our eyes, we look beyond that to what it is that God promises to do. And that is that He promises good in all that He does. There's something else we should see and understand as we look at these words of the psalmist, "I trust You." I said at the beginning that this is a messianic psalm. And because that's true, we hear in these very words, not just the words of David, a child of God, a believer trusting in God, but really we hear the word of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, David, of course, trusted with shortcomings and in weaknesses, and he needed his faith strengthened. But Jesus trusted perfectly. He was under attack in His life. But more than this, He suffered the wrath of God. He faced the hellish agonies and sufferings that we cannot imagine. So that He came before the face of God. And when Jesus came before the face of God, especially there on the cross, that face told Him that He would die, that He would suffer wrath, that He would face hellish agonies. But through all of that, this was the word of Jesus. He trusted His Father. Even when He prayed in the garden, that prayer that the cup would be taken away, He trusted the answer of His Father. What He faced was awful and it affected Him. And here's the point. What He faced doesn't compare with what we face. It was so much more. And He trusted perfectly that God would accomplish good through that, that through the cross, through His suffering, our salvation and our redemption would be accomplished for the glory of His Father. And so He went forward with that confidence and that trust. And the reason we need to see and understand that today is when we're struggling in our faith, and there are all of these fears, that there is strength to be found in Jesus Christ Himself for our weak faith. He is the one who's able to strengthen us. But we see and understand as well in the Savior, He understands the sufferings that we go through. And we hear His confession this morning that He trusts in His Father, and as those who follow behind and as those who are His, we make that confession as well, I trust You. This very confession is God's gift to us. Again, not just something we say, but something that flows out of the depths of our hearts because we know this one true and living God. And this God who's given us faith will continue to strengthen our faith. This faith that David expresses, for in Thee do I put my trust, I trust You, that's built on something rock solid. It was built on the relationship that he knew that he had with God. David here expresses his relationship to God. He does that really in the entire text. And it's worth pointing out in this whole point of the sermon, because this is said at the very beginning of the psalm, showing us that David, in all of his life and in all of his thinking, was learning to think in terms of his relationship to God. That defined him. That was his identity. And he was learning to look at life through that lens. That he had a relationship of love and friendship with God. So notice here how David expresses his relationship to God. He does that in verse 2, and we come across in verses 1 and 2, three different names of God, but then he says in verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Now a little aside here. O my soul. You probably see that in your Bibles. It's in italics. And that means that you don't find the word soul there, or my soul in the original. We see and understand, I'm going to say to you that this morning, that that's still a correct way of writing this because of the language, the Hebrew language, and what's found there. It's referring not to a male, but it's in the feminine. And that's referring to that word soul, really. So that this is a right translation to say, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. But what that tells us is that David, in his own mind, is thinking about the Lord. We're giving an opportunity to see into the mind and the soul of David for a moment. What was he thinking as he's trusting in God? Now, right now, he's not going through hardship and difficulty in his life. He has in the past. He knows it will come again. He's getting himself ready, as it were, for that. What's he thinking on? Well, what he's thinking on is this. His relationship with God. And so that's what we think about for a few moments as well this morning, so that we continue to think about it as we leave here today. David's confidence is based on this relationship that he has. And it comes out of these names. First of all, the name God. Verse 1. God is the name that indicates that our God is the only God, that He is strong and powerful and sovereign. He's the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the Almighty God who rules over all things in heaven and on earth. David takes refuge in God because He is strong. He knows this about God. Secondly, notice the name Jehovah. Verse 2. Thou hast said unto the Lord, to Jehovah, that's the name Lord in all capital letters. Remember that beautiful name of God, a prominent name of God in both the Old Testament and New Testament. Yes, in the New Testament too, because it's the name Jesus, Jehovah saves. That name Jehovah is the personal name of the great God of Israel that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Remember there at the burning bush, Moses said to God, if I go to the Israelites and say the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask, what is His name? Moses asked, what shall I tell them? And God responds, I am that I am. Tell them that they, I am that I am, has sent you unto them. That's the meaning of the name Jehovah. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's filled with meaning. It means that God's the eternal God. It means that God is perfectly self-sufficient. And that aspect of the name is important for the verses that follow, which we'll look at another time. But then there's this also, and here's the heart of it. He's the unchanging God of covenant love toward His people. He's the faithful covenant God. You see, David is confessing here that he knows God as his friend. His friend king, his friend sovereign, the friend God. But nonetheless, he knows God in a relationship of love and friendship. David knows he's been brought into that relationship of love and friendship by the sovereign grace of God, as have we. God has done everything to bring us into that. He says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. He's established a relationship of love and friendship with us. He's chosen us to have this relationship. He sent His Son so that we have the right to this relationship, and we experience the reality of this relationship as well. God is our Father who loves us. He comes to us and speaks to us. He comes and He lives in us by His Spirit. He's loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to suffer and die on our behalf. There's no greater love than one lays down his life for his friends. God gave His Son who laid down His life for His friends, for those who were given to Him by the Father from all eternity. And that's what we need to know and understand today. This love of God is ours. It's not based on anything we've done. It's not because we're so good or we're so faithful. We are not of ourselves. But it's because He is ever kind and merciful towards His people. We don't deserve this love. But that's what we need to know more than anything else. The love of God for us in Jesus Christ. And then there's a third name here. The other name, Lord. So, David confesses in his own soul that he says, this Lord Jehovah, to him, Thou art my Lord. That's a different name. Adonai is the word there. David is confessing that Jehovah God, the Almighty God, is his Master and Lord. David knows that his very life is held in the hand of God. He knows that God is the one who orders and directs our lives. And He's the one, as well as a loving Master, who calls us to live in a certain way in the service of Him. And so He is our Lord and our Master. But now we put all of that together. David here is confessing that his confidence rests in God and it's something rock solid. David trusts in Him and he prays to Him because of who He is. And this is what David trusts in. He trusts in, first of all, the goodness of God. God Himself is a God who is always good. He's good in His own being. He's good as the sovereign God of all things. He's good in His decree. He's good in what He accomplishes. He's good in Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because that's true, all that He does is good. And what that means for us then is because we have God Himself, we have everything that we need. If we don't have God Himself, then even the best things in this life are valueless. Even life itself is valueless unless we have God and know His great goodness. David is confessing here that he knows God as his refuge, as his Redeemer, as his Lord. And nothing can mean as much to us as this. even as for David, nothing meant as much to him as this. That he knew the goodness of God in his own life no matter what was going on around him. And knowing the goodness of God, he knew that this God, his faithful covenant God, this Jehovah who is his Lord, he knew that he would preserve him. So his prayer, we'll look at that in a moment, his prayer, but I want to point out the word preserve there because that word as well tells us something about God that flows out of the fact that he is Jehovah, that he is the Lord, that he is God himself. The idea of that word preserve is the preserving, the watching that a shepherd would do, or the watching that a watchman over a city would do for the protection of the people who were in that city. And so that very word tells us something about God, doesn't it? That He is always our protector, and He is always our shepherd and our watchman. Just like a shepherd in those days, a good shepherd would keep a faithful watch over his flock, so our God, in heavenly glory, even as He is with us as our faithful covenant God, He is always protecting and preserving us. We are never out of the eyesight of our God. He's right here with us. He's in the hospital rooms, downtown Grand Rapids at Spectrum Hospital. He's with His people wherever they are, and we're always under His watchful care and rule. It's especially when there's hardship and difficulty that we remember that. The danger for us is when it's smoother. That's when we forget it. That's no doubt why it is that David is speaking his own soul at this time in his life. It's not through hardship and difficulty. There were psalms in which he expressed quiet trust in God in those times. But he needed that when times were going smooth. And so after this period we have in the church with loved ones, those who we love, members of the church hurting and suffering, the dust is going to settle. And then what? That's why this word is so important for us today, for us always to be remembering that God is our shepherd who leads us and guides us by His goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Yes, when things are hard and difficult and we know that and we're turned to Him, it's as if God takes our hand, takes our faces in His hand and He points them up to Himself and says, "Look at me." And we do because we know there's nowhere else to look. But it's the weeks afterward when we go back and we start looking down again. That's what we need to remember, that He's our shepherd who's leading us and guiding us just as much then. That's the beauty of hardship and difficulty in our lives. We know that He's holding us. We know that He's caring for us in His love. Faith trusts that and believes that. Trust that and believes that even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when there's pain and suffering, and that can be part of the struggle. It hurts so badly. That doesn't feel like love. But it is, and we know that it is, and we fight that own battle in our own minds. Our God is the God who is our shepherd, who is preserving us and watching over us no matter what. So that in the end, we are always His own. We're always His own. There's no one who can pluck us from His fatherly hand. There is nothing, as we read in Romans 8, that can separate us from His love. And so that's the confidence that we need right now, all of us, whatever we face. God's love. God's love. He loves us in Jesus Christ. He's our friend. He's Jehovah. He's the I am that I am. And may we know that we are held then in His loving arms. So our trust flows out of that. I trust you. Why? Well, because of all that God has done, because of His goodness and His faithfulness, because He is the God who preserves us as our faithful covenant God. So the prayer flows out of this. Preserve me. Preserve me. Continue to watch over me and keep me. Knowing that this is our God, this is our prayer. O God, preserve me. This is our prayer when things go well. Preserve me. Preserve me in the way of truth. Preserve me in the way of godliness. Preserve me when I face temptations and sin. Preserve me when I want to take things for granted and just go on and think that I've got everything under control. No, preserve me from that kind of thinking. But this is also our prayer when we struggle and we hurt. Preserve me. Preserve us. Preserve my faith. Preserve me so that I trust. Preserve me so that I wait. Preserve me so that I don't give myself over to all the fears that are found in my mind and my soul. Preserve me. Preserve me so that I would know Your love. Preserve me so that I would continue trusting each and every moment. Sometimes that's just the prayer. Help. Help me. And preserve me. That's the cry in hardship and difficulty. Now that is a prayer that we make in confidence. And that's the idea of the text. When we look at verse 1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." It's not as if the psalmist is saying to God, "God, preserve me, because after all, I'm trusting in You." It's not him pointing to himself and saying, "I'm doing this now, O God, it's Your duty to preserve me." That's not what he's saying. But instead, what he's saying is that he's praying in the confidence of faith. He has the confidence as he comes before God and says, "Oh, preserve me, God." He has the confidence that God will, because that's the kind of God that He is. And so this is a prayer of great confidence that David prays. It's not, "I hope He does, maybe He will." No, he prays it and knows that God will preserve. That's what we know in our prayers today too. And let us pray. Constantly. Pray when we don't know what else to say or what else to do. Closing our eyes silently when we're sitting in a chair this afternoon and we're thinking about things, let's pray. Let's pray with confidence though that God has us all in His hand. He has Bryant, His Dee, His Rick and Sharon. Kids, their families, all who are concerned about them. He has the doctors and the nurses all in His hand. He has their future in His hands. Our hope is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. So this God is our God. He will preserve us. He will protect us. And we can pray with confidence then. This is what trust looks like in our lives, what it looks like today. What it will look like tomorrow. It's relying upon God, going to God as our refuge and our strength, knowing the relationship we have with Him, and then knowing that God, this God, will preserve us to the very end. May God grant us this kind of faith. Amen. Father in heaven, we're thankful for Thy Word. May it comfort us. May it soothe our souls. May it be a balm for our souls. That we may know that we are protected and preserved by Thee. And now we're to God who holds all things in Thy hands. We're thankful especially, Father, for Thy love. It can be hard when it hurts, when there's pain, to hold on to that love. But now in hardship and difficulty, we do. We believe it and know that Thou art a God who loves us and is caring for us. We pray, O Lord, that the people who couldn't be here today, because the afflictions Thou hast placed upon them, the hardships, that they too would know that they are surrounded by Thy love. They are held in Thy everlasting arms. They are held by the right hand of Thy righteousness. And continue, O Father, to bless us in this day and give to us all that we need to trust in Thee and Thy promises. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.